Blog Talk Radio.
I know that you can stand, for your life is in your hands.
No matter what,
yeah. Jesus, my life is in. matter what you've been through, there's much more to do it for you. Thank you, God. I know you.
What a beautiful thing to know that your life is truly in God's hand. I mean, you don't have anything to do with it. You have to go to the Word of God for direction. If the Word don't give you direction, you just sit there because you're in His hand. You don't even have options to see. You're in His hand. Beautiful way to live. Knowing that somehow, someday, God is going to treat you better than a mother. And you know how good mothers can be. They won't let you go astray. They won't let you go to the right or to the left. They want to make sure you stay on that path. Now, can you imagine being in God's hand like that? Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ. Called the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are so happy to have each and every one of you on. Listen, brothers and sisters, God's going to do an awesome review today because I'm speaking in my spirit. You may not want to miss 1 ounce of this. I'm telling you. And we're asking everyone to engage, to say what the Spirit say per the Word of God. Don't care anything about your feelings. This is about what the Word of God say. That's what we live by, Matthew 4:4. And Luke 4:4 said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that's the part I like, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We'll ask Pastor Bill if she'll go ahead and give us a word of prayer. And we'll get started, brothers and sisters.
Amen, amen. So thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen, amen. I'm so glad our life is in God's hand. Amen, amen. Praise God. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Peter 4:8. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you for this word today. We're thanking you, Father God, for our listeners and those that are listening by internet and those that participate. Father God, we give you thanks for our pastor today, Father God. Ask that you continue to bless him and use him mightily as he teaches this word, Father God. And make it plain enough that we can understand it. Father God, open up our hearts and our minds to receive the word of God. We're thanking you for a time that we can come and share the word, the lessons that we have learned through the week, Father God. Just bless, Father God, as this word is shared and brought out, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you will be with all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, for you know what they're going through, Father God. You know what they're experiencing. You know how they're feeling, Father God. And you said in your word, you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Be with the bereaved families right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Be with Evangelist Renee's friend, Sister Eileen, be with that family and be with Sister Pat, who was so close to that family, Father God. And Lord, we know you'll comfort her, Father God, as a time such as this. Be with the sick and the shut-in, Father God. Those that are going through, be with them as well. Father God, we're thanking you for this word, and we're thanking you for each and every one as they come today and share the word, share what they have learned. And most of all, we thank you for the healings. We thank you for those deliverances, Father God. We're just thanking you for everything. So, Father God, have your way in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that beautiful prayer. And we thank God for that. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, we're talking about developing the God kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of love is not like no other love. This kind of love makes you love your enemy. This kind of love calls you to love strangers. And you ask what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, not man.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get this through your genes or your genealogy. You didn't get through. You got to be born of this love. There's no definition for this love. You can get the Greek, you can get the Hebrew, and you can get a few others if you want to. It cannot define this kind of love. The only way you're going to know this kind of love is to be born of love, of the God love. Now, I know some of y'all may have these different definitions, and that's okay. That's a worldly love. But God says this kind of love, you can only get it from God. God has to give it to you because you become part of him. So then you become conscious of this. As you develop per the scripture, you become conscious of this kind of love.
Hallelujah.
You are aware of this kind of love. You know, sometimes people act like they don't know what the word conscious means, but that means that you have a sense of something. You know, the conscience of, matter of fact, let me tell you what, your conscience even knows the intent of a thing. Your mental faculty, and a lot of people, they conscience had become dull. Dull of seeing, dull of hearing. And I can give you scripture for all of this, but the part that I like is the fact that understand that it's dealing with knowledge. It's dealing with your mindset. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we're to cast down all vain imagination. See, that's what hits your conscience, is these vain imagination and every high thought, this thought that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You want to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you've learned. If you're going to, you need to apprehend those thoughts per the word of God, because that's what you're living by. So when we're talking about being love conscious, we're talking about being love sensitive. We're talking about being aware, you know, being cautious that it's just like when you're going down the street and that light change, you are aware, you're conscious that the police could be over there or whatever, and you're aware of that. So that's the way our lifestyle should be. Our lifestyle should be every day being aware that we're love babies. We're love babies. And we started off with a couple of scriptures, and we probably going to end up staying here and with these two scriptures for the day anyway. There's some others that we probably get into. But we started off with Joshua 1 and 8. So let's ask, let's see here who we got here. Joshua 1 and 8. She's evangelist and pastor Maryland. If she'd be willing to read for us today, would you like to read Joshua 1:8 for us today out of King James? I'm going to ask Pastor to read it out of the Messenger Bible.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm in my car right now, so I don't.
Okay,
have
no problem. Thank you.
I apologize.
No problem. Thank you. Having a willing spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In Joshua 1:8, there's someone else care to read for us. But in Joshua 1:8, it reads like this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success.
Amen.
Praise God. Send a message, Bible. Don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Amen.
Yeah. See, we're to be alert to everything that's written in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost's job is going to bring it to our remembrance. We need to be attentive to the Holy Ghost, which is being attentive to the Word of God. We need to be cautious what comes out of our mouth. For God. That's what we're doing here. We're here as representatives. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are ambassadors. You're representing God. You have to be careful what comes out of your mouth. You're not like everybody else.
Yes,
they sound like your friends and your neighbors. You represent God. What comes out of your mouth is so important. But hey, if you're not conscious of who you are and what you are, that you are a love baby. That you're the very righteousness of God. So you can't say anything. You got to have, I don't care about they turn off the light. Your confession can't be they turn off my light. Your confession got to be, hey, my needs are being met daily. Because that's what the Word of God said. And that's where you're standing there. You're joint heirs with Christ. And whatever God got, you got. And I don't care if you see it or not. Once you believe it, then it comes to fruition. Not only that, but don't forget that you're heirs of Abraham's blessing. Yeah. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't see it. See, the reason you don't see it, because you don't see it in your conscience. If you see it in your conscience, in your mindset, if you will awake to this, to the Word of God, and be conscious of the Word of God, then it will come to fruition. That's how that works, brothers and sisters. Because then your desires become different anyway, because you're a love baby. Our other scripture, we're going to check on that too. We're going to do that one. I believe it was in, let's do the one in Timothy first. That was 1 Timothy 1:5. Y'all bear with me. My computer, it is cooperating for me. It is doing that. That's what it's doing. It's supposed to cooperate before I rebuke it. Okay. 1 Timothy 1:5. And this, brother, says I'm going to open up the broadcast to anybody want to have anything to say about the lesson this week or these lessons. Matter of fact, we're going to start something different. We just may just whatever God said to do, that's what we're doing. This scripture is 1 Timothy 1:5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of the pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfit.
Amen. From the Message Bible. The whole point of what we're urging is simple love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith. A life open to God. Amen.
Yeah. See, a good conscience mm-hmm. is going to produce good love. Because you can have a bad conscience.
All right.
That's why he says, out of a pure heart and a good conscience. Your conscience may not be pure, but your heart can be pure. It means you got a good spirit, a good, because the word heart, it means spirit. Ain't talking about that 4x4 thing in your chest on the left-hand side that pumps blood. That's not the heart. We're talking about the spirit here. The spirit, so is charity or love out of a pure heart. A pure heart, brother and sister, is a pure spirit that says what the word of God says. That's the only way you have, because that word of God purifies it. That's why the Bible says only the pure in heart is going to see God. Well, what that mean? Because you think, well, I don't know nobody got no pure heart. Yeah, if a person is living according to the word of God and living by the word of God and speaking the word of God, they got a pure heart. That's what the word of God does. It washes us. It washes us. And then your mind began to think in a good way.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, We can deal with a few scriptures here because I can show you what your conscience. Remember what Paul said in Romans 9:1? Well, we'll read it. Romans 9:1. He said, I say the truth in Christ and lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Amen. In the Message Bible, at the same time, you need to know that I carry with me at all times a huge sorrow. It's an enormous pain deep within me, and I'm never free of it. Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness to your conscience. Now, y'all may not like this, but you may have to do more research so you can see this. Your conscience is always with you, always, along with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And please allow me to tell you this. The devil is there, too.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know if you've seen, they used to show on this movie thing where on the right side was an angel, on the left side was the devil with a pitfall. I know you've seen that. Well, in reality, brothers and sisters, that's true. The devil is right there to constantly torment us, constantly accusing us, constantly wanting you to think sin conscious rather than righteous conscience. Yeah, he would love to think sinfully rather than righteously. You got to remember who you are. That's got to be in your conscience at all times, that you're the very righteousness of God. I'm going to tell you something else, too. If you don't remember who you are, Satan's going to make you part of him. If you don't get your conscience exercised by the word of God, and I'll show you that, too, in a moment. If you don't have your conscience, like, burnt from that old way of thinking, you're going to constantly think, everything is sin. Everything is sin. You'll forget that 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for you. Your bill is paid, man.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're not sinful. You are spiritual beings having human experiences. That's what's going on. So we're to get away from a lot of these human experiences. That's why we're not to be of the world, see? That's having human experiences. Because Jesus became your sin. Let me tell you what. The only ones that's not going to be saved is people who don't accept Christ as their personal Savior. And then you have to do that. The only reason, because see, sin problems taken care of if you're in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, you're still trying to battle with sin. Yeah, that become a constant battle for you every day because you don't have the knowledge.
Have mercy.
That's why God has made us to be meek, or to be like Christ, that we can be like Christ. We can have his mind. That's real, brothers and sisters. You can't have both of them. So the only thing that will keep you from having God's righteousness is sin. And the only sin there is in the world today, and I'll challenge anybody on this, the only sin in the world today is that you haven't accepted Christ. Because if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that means you've been saved from sin.
Thank you, Lord.
And if Christ can't do that, then it's pointless. If Christ can't help you, can't keep you from being righteous conscious, if he can't keep you from being sin conscious, then you haven't been born again. And that's the word of God. That's why you need the love of God. Did you read that pass out of the Messenger Bible? You know me, I get carried away. I'm going to give y'all three more scriptures, and then we're going to open it up for discussion. Did you read Timothy, Pastor, out of the Messenger?
Yes, Pastor. Would you like for me to read it again?
Sure.
Okay. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith. A life open to God. Amen.
Ephesians, thank you, Pastor. Ephesians 5 and 1. I think we did 2. But Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it reads like this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as he, as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us and offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Amen.
So, guess what, brothers and sisters? God walk in love every day. Every day. Eternally, he walks in love.
Hallelujah.
And God expects that out of us. Not just on Sundays, not just on the Sabbath, not just on Wednesdays. Every minute, every day, every hour, day and night, God operates in love. So he tells us to walk in love is to walk in the highest spiritual realm. That's the highest love you can walk in, is to walk in the God kind of love. There is no love higher, because God is love.
Yeah.
God is the producer of love. And to walk in his kind.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he tells, now it gets deep right here, but I'm going to go ahead on and go there with you. He says to mimic, imitate.
Amen.
When you're a follower, you're mimicking that. I remember one time Michael Jackson, I'll never forget that, he had that one glove on that one hand. Everybody, their babies were mimicking him. Well, that's what means to me. You start acting just like, and don't give me this business. Oh, you ain't God. Yes, I am. I'm acting like I am because he told me I can be like him. He told me to mimic him. That's why he gave me his mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Oh, you believe that stuff? Absolutely. You don't believe that? You don't believe that? What's wrong with you?
Amen.
It's in the Word of God. You're preaching it. You saying it. So you don't believe what you're saying? When he said, be followers. Be followers of God as children. These are we're God's babies.
Yes,
you're going to act like your mama. Act like your daddy. Have somebody, one of them up ought to be up in you. Grace and mercy and truth and the stuff of God should be in you. But you have to develop this. And the way you do that is becoming conscious of that. I think about Stephen over there in the book of Acts. Stephen was reminded. I'm going to get Pastor to read that. Over in Acts 7, the 7th chapter, I think it's the 54th verse. Read through this to the 60th verse. She's going to find that. But Stephen, he was conscious of what happened to Jesus. And then Paul saw the stuff going on too. And Paul became conscious. They became aware that, hey, man, we have to act just like Christ act in every sense of the word. Stop letting people bamboozle you and try to get you in their little box. They're in a real small box. Anybody that don't want to act like Christ, they box are so small. Satan going to beat them up in their mind. Satan going to beat them up in their life, their walk, they everything. Because they're not conscious of who they are. You're God's child.
Hallelujah.
That's who you are. And I'm here to tell you. I don't care if you look like him, smell like him, think like him. You God's child. Because he said you're his child. He's just trying to get you to say you're his daddy. That's all. He wants you to brag on him like he's bragging on you.
Yeah.
Read that, Pastor.
Amen. And that was Acts 7. And which verse you'd like for me to start with again, Pastor?
54,
amen. From the King James. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and casting him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen.
Awesome. Man, that's just the same thing Jesus did. When they stoned him and crucified him, Jesus looked to heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the kind of love we got to develop when folks dogging you out. That's why God makes some of us gonna have, you gonna have to love your exes. I keep telling folks that.
That's
the folks that did you so wrong, God said you're gonna love them and you're gonna forgive them. See, when you get that God kind of love, that's what you're required to do. That's it. You know, everybody don't want to go to have eternal life. But if you're going to have eternal life, this is going to be one of the prerequisites here, is that you love like Christ. You love like God love.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfect in us.
Yeah.
That's if you love. You may not love. You may say you love, but that don't mean you love it like God love.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He did just like, read that again. He did just like Christ. They got to beating him and stoning him, and he was helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul watched it. Paul was amazed.
Yeah.
Paul was amazed at what the Holy Ghost would do. Well, I'm going to tell some of y'all this too, because I don't want to shortchange you. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of us got, we had filled. But when you get all the way filled, Holy Ghost filled.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That means he had everything God put in him. He was willing to take it. Walk in it. He was conscious of it. He was conscious of what was going on. And as they stoned him, he called upon God, saying, Jesus, receive my spirit.
Yes.
He cried out to the Lord. The Bible said that. He told him, forgive him. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, we have to develop that. We ain't there yet. Some of us ain't there yet. But that don't mean, because your mind tells you you ain't there. You're there. You just got to start speaking it. You start confessing it. And God will bring it about. But as long as you confess and say Satan nature. I mean, Paul said, man, I was the chief among all the sinners until Christ came.
Amen.
A lot of time people, they do things because of their conscience mess with them. And for those that don't know, I'm going to tell you this. Oh, in 1 Corinthians 8:12, but when ye sin against the brethren and wonder their weak conscience, he said, you sinning against Christ. Why? That means you are separating yourself from Christ. Because you're allowing people to stumble and you won't tell them the truth. Go on and tell them. And you keep telling folks the truth, you're going to be like me. You're going to have very few friends. You may have a whole lot of associates, but you're going to have a very few friends. When you start telling the truth, let me tell you, your list going to get shorter. Your inner circle going to get smaller. The more truth you tell, the smaller your inner circle gonna get.
Amen.
Yeah. See, when you realize that your conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, when you start living like that, your circle gonna get real small, real small, real small. There was one other scripture that we touched on, and I'm going to touch on that, and we're going to leave it open for everybody to want to have anything they want to say. They shared from last week. They learned. I want to say it was in Colossians 1:9-14, or was that Ephesians? I think it was Colossians 1. So let's go to Colossians. And we're going to go to Colossians 1. I really wanted to tell y'all how these people were, because there was just so much heresy going on in that church. also in the church at Corinth and Philippi, had these people had all these stupid beliefs and we're just lying to one another. But in the 9th verse through the 14th verse, so that's Colossians 1, 9th verse through the 14th verse, read like this. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Bear with me for a second here. Let me get this computer. Okay. The 11th verse read like this. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power, y'all underline that, who have already been done, you've been delivered from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. From the Message Bible, be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard, as you learn more and more how God works. You will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glorious strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He sets us up in the kingdom of his son he loves so much, the son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. There's a whole mouthful of stuff right there. Anybody have any comments? Just press one.
Amen.
I had turned it on, but somebody had the, somebody made noise in the background. Let me see. And then I open up the broadcast again. If you're not saying anything, your radio loud, or you got people around you, just put it on mute. Because when you open it up, we don't need to hear all the other stuff going on in your life. And that's cool, because you can do 3-4 things at one time. I know you can. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it'd make it rough for everybody else to try to hear this. And while you do that, let me say this. He said, for this caller, we also, since the day we heard it. Well, what did they hear? They heard that these people had become witness for Christ Jesus now. They were no longer teaching Jesus Christ, but they was teaching Christ, the spiritual side.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
That it is. That's what they had heard. They heard, hey, man, they preaching Christ now. They're no longer preaching Jesus, but they're preaching Christ. Well, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. Jesus was about the sacrifice, about the Old Testament, about the New Testament. But now they're speaking the Spirit. They're teaching spiritual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they became faithful ministers now of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say this. They became faithful ministers of Christ. And they realized that these people had loved God's word and had loved what Christ had did in the man Christ Jesus. So they began to be followers, fellow servants, and they became faithful, meaning whatever they were going through, it didn't matter. They would continue to preach that Christ was the Messiah. The day when y'all crucified, that's the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. So now they began to teach that Christ now. So they said, hey, man, we ain't stop praying for you guys since we heard it. Since we heard about y'all teaching Christ now. And they prayed that they be full of the spiritual knowledge.
Mm.
They prayed that they be full of God's glory and God's power and God's and God long suffering, and they just and they were just giving God thanks for that they became partakers.
Mm.
What that means is the word M-E-E-T, that means that it means to be comfortable or means to be compatible. In the Old Testament, they changed it when they got in the New Testament, because see, when we read that word meet, that means like I'm meeting you, Pastor Gina, or I'm meeting you, Pastor Dale, I'm meeting you, Pastor Marilyn, or you, Pastor Jonathan, or you, Pastor Brown, I mean, or are you evangelist? I'm meeting you for the first time. That ain't what that word meant in the Old Testament. What that word meant in the Old Testament, that Adam, Eve became Adam, help meet. Help me.
All right.
Meaning that him and her can make babies because they're comfortable to one another. It's like a dog and a cat don't mate, or a giraffe and a lion don't meet. They're not help. They'll not meet. They can't make it. They can't make babies together. Not like two bald-headed men trying to make a baby. They're not help. They'll not meet. They're not that, okay? And these are two women,
either. All right, say that.
You become meek because you both are human. You are the opposite. It's like put both of your hands together. I'm going to show you exactly what meek is. Put both of your hands to, like, side by side. And these lines are lining up. I want y'all to do this. Do this. If you're not driving, if you're able to do this, and you're going to see them lines, if you spread both of your hands out and you're looking at the palm of your hand, one on the right, one on the left, put them together, and you're going to watch them lines. If you start folding your hands in, fold it in, every line you got is going to meet another line just like it. That's what a help is. Well, that's what we become to God. We can be like God. That's what that means. We can be just like God. And the Bible says, help me to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in life. We can be partakers of that inheritance. That's what we got.
Mm.
And he goes on to say, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Well, before we couldn't do that, but now that we've been delivered from that, we're able to be partakers of a divine nature. Okay, let me go and open this up for everybody. Anyone like to have anything? Okay. Boom. There you go. Okay. Numbers ending with 5617. Okay.
Okay. Okay, Pastor, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pastor Gina.
I just want to say.
Okay.
I thank the Lord for this beautiful service this morning. We were similarly talking about this in our program this morning as well. And, you know, God's love just spreads so amongst our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we have people that say things that's not out of love, but in the context, as Paul talked about in Philippians 1:16, you know, you have naysayers that do things to enviously distress him, or in this present day, distress one another. And they're not for the Lord, but in all respect, you have to have that kind of love where it's going to elevate God's people. You've got to have a change of mind and a change of heart, because the word has power. So, you know, we have a lot of battling going on in ministries amongst one another as children of God, and we forget who we belong to. And
you
can't say we belong to the Lord and our words are counteracting what his word says of who we are in the body of Christ. So we want to adopt that, as you say, that attitude. We want to imitate the behavior of Christ. We want it to be shown not only just when we come together to speak about the word, but even in the daily life, even in the stressful sense of what we deal with, even in all conversations, you know, where we want to confide in one another. So I just thank God for this message today, that it did give confirmation to what we talked about as far as the power of the tongue. And as God's people, let us move forward to do things that are going to enhance and uplift and not to tear down, because Proverbs 18:21 specifies it so clearly. It's very simply placed and put. Death and life are in the tongue, and we want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Did
you unmute yourself, Mom?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Gina. I thank God for you and for those encouraging words. Listen, brother and sister, see, love will bring you together.
Yes.
The love of God. Believe me, the love of God will bring you together. Because, see, love, it's, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, I want to say it's the 8th verse. May I ask Pastor Shield find that and read that? Brothers and sisters, this is the most profound scripture you'll ever find. I mean, all the word of God is good. But in 1 Corinthians 13, I want to say it's the 8th verse. But it says love will never fail. When you're using love as a vehicle, when you're using love, you're not going to fail, because God is not going to fail. Heaven and earth are pathway before God fails. Trust me.
Yes.
So the love of God, when you're using it, it won't fail. Keep on loving. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes we want to think of other avenues to go down, but try to love them. That's what God did. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved, what'd he do? He loved the hell out of the world. He loved the hell out of us. I mean, not like that. But hell was everywhere. And that's what God did. God loved that hell right out of you. It works.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
If you got hell in you, turn it over to God. Say, Lord, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I want to love like you. Tell him. Daddy, I want to be like you. Teach me to be a golfer like Tiger Woods taught his son to be a golfer. Teach me to be a basketball player like LeBron John taught his son. Lord, teach me to love like you. I want to love you like Christ loved like you. And you watch. But God just love the hell out of me, right? I mean, that's what he did to me. He loved the hell out of me. Because I had a whole lot of hell in me. Paul told me he was the chief. So I got to deal with Paul. I'm telling some of the stuff I did. God loved the hell right out of me.
But it
won't fail. When you're using the love of God, it won't fail people. Knowledge, tongues, but love will never fail. You trying that from
right.
the past.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. It says, charity never fails. And whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall speak. Whether
hey, did you just have a rainbow and a strawberry? Okay, yeah, 383. Thank you so much.
That
away.
Oh, yes. So charity never fails. And that's that love.
Amen. It never
fails. I
said
what?
Mm-hmm. I just found out for it. Somebody, I broadcast it because somebody ordering strawberries and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
But what it says this.
It never fails. It never fails. Charity never fails.
The God kind of love. It never fails, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Everything else is going to fail. You can try yeah. operating and all this stuff, but it's going to fail. The only thing yeah. that's not going to vanish away is the God kind of love.
Thank you, Lord.
Matter of fact, it's this love that makes you perfect anyway. You perfect in Christ.
Yeah. That's
anyone
right.
else? Anyone else?
Amen. Amen.
Fresh one.
Well, amen. We also shared Matthew's 4 and 4, Pastor. I wanted to share that. Matthew's the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. From the King James, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. So we had talked about that, but that we need to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. And just like our Lord, so from the Message Bible, it said, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it is more than bread. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of God's word. Okay, let me go back and read that because I wanted to bring something out in my notes, but let me read it again from the Message Bible. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Amen. So we had talked about that on Monday. We have to grow. We have to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, which is God's love. And teaching on the God kind of love, we want to have the faith that works and that we believe the God kind of love and that we can have that love. And God's love wins every time. Amen. I thought that was when you were sharing that with us on Monday. So we got to have that, and all ties in together. But just like when we have God's love, we can endure, we can go through whatever it is, whatever test, whatever trial, whatever it is, we can go through it.
And I like how the Message Bible puts it as well in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where it takes us, brings us right to that love. And just as soon as I get back to that, I wanted to read that, where it talks about love. I tried to get away from it, and it just had to come out today as well. Our message was on that God love. We had shared that, you know, that love is, we just tossed that word love around so much, but I love how our lesson is bringing it out, that it's God love that we need, and not just take it for granted, because it starts off in the 13th chapter telling us that without God's love, we're bankrupt.
Right.
And that verse, praise God, it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swell head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of others' sins. Love doesn't ravel when others gravel. And then it tells us what love is, what love does. Love takes pleasure in flowering the truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back, but keeps going to the end. That eighth verse at 8 through 10 said, love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongue will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incomplete will be canceled. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I love
awesome.
That. Gives up.
Awesome.
Praise
you know,
God.
Evangelist, and we'll be done, but Evangelist Renee shared that scripture, Monday, I think it was saying from Matthew, Pastor.
Yes, Matthew 4 and 4. Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't Matthew 4 and 4. She, I know, she on
oh,
here.
That's right.
God,
it was,
let me tell you what, brothers and sisters. How about this? Right. You know how to give good gifts.
Yeah.
Why you limit God to have what he give?
Mm-hmm.
If you know how to give good gift, why you think God don't know how to give good gift? And you talking about a good gift is having the God kind of love. The
Bible says,
John, in John 3 and 1, what manner of love is this that the Father have bestowed upon us. See, when you get born again, God give you a different kind of love. He don't give you the love that the world have, the Bible says. He don't give you that, you know, like phileo, agape. He don't give you that. He give you his kind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His kind you can only get by him bestowing it upon you. He have to put it on you. He have to put it in you. All this other kind is the world kind. Man can give you that kind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Either to do good to them that do good to you. It's good to bless them that blesses you. How about blessing them that curse you? You got a definition for that? You got a definition for that?
Mm.
See, anybody can feed the homeless. But how about you coming out of your house and let them live in your house? You got love for that? You got a definition for that one?
All right, now.
Anybody can give somebody a pair of shoes, but how about your only shoe, your only pair?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? You ain't got no other care. You got to give them up. Because you saw somebody walking, and they was barefooted. They was out in the snow. How about taking your shoes off, especially if they're the same size? Take your shoes off and give it to them. That's the love kind. Your only. See, God's love is only. And like he said, God was so loved the world that he gave his only. How about start giving your only?
Well,
I got a mixer. I got a brand new mixer. Man, I don't know. But I'd have to depart for it. If I saw somebody really need that, I'd have to let it go.
Have to give it up. Amen. Yeah, that was, Pastor, that was Luke 11 and verse 13 from the New Living Translation that Evangelist Renee shared with us on Thursday. It said, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Yeah. If you ask God, and don't assume you got anything, but if you ask God for his kind of love, watch him drop it on you. And I just tell you, be prepared. Be prepared. Don't ask him. You don't need it. You don't want it. If you're not sure, don't ask him. Because you're going to ask him this. But ask him if you want that kind of love. Because he's going to drop it on you. And you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried.
All right.
But Lord, I think I'm going to love like you. And then God's going to send a stranger your way. He's going to send somebody you don't know their name, their social security number, and you're going to have to help them. So don't be asking God to let you love like him unless you mean it. And then, too, you got to love me. See, a lot of folks trying to love God, they ain't even seen God. How you know you going to like him? God may look like me. He may act like me. You don't like God, you don't like God.
All right, now.
He may look like your worst enemy.
Yeah.
How you going to love God when you can't love me? Your worst enemy. So, because God loves. And you can have that if you ask him. If you ask him.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, we sure thank everybody. I know we ran over a little bit, but y'all know I do the after stuff. I do the after hour stuff, you know.
That's all right.
Sometimes that's when it get good. Y'all ain't been where I've been, but I used to go to parties. The after hour party was better than the real party. That after hour thing, boy, that's where we get it on.
All right.
So I don't mind hanging around. I don't mind sharing the word of God, because I want to teach what the word said we are. I want to know that I have a light, that I can be the light of the world. And I don't care what my mama, my daddy, somebody else say, I can be the righteousness of God. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 and 1 Peter 2:24, because it says that, I mean, I can have that. I can have the inheritance. That's part of my inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
That's part of my inheritance.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm a citizen. Anybody else? Okay, well, we're going to thank you all and see you all tomorrow for the word at night.